with everyone with the fourteen candidates who are at least five scores in the class.
Good morning. The chairperson is running back to the chairman from there. Mr. Scott has brought two in box of the original documentation. And I thought that make use of the time. Should I accept it out?
Thank you.
recycling broken the waste.
I We have seen all the qualification areas, yeah? Yeah, we must also test this. Sometimes it collapses when we are outside.
Yeah.
This might be better. Yeah, I'm sure all of us have just seen this, the qualification. So,
thank you.
Ready? Okay. So he's a former secretary. Okay, maybe. Honourable members, this is Dr. Baba Skalk. Welcome, Dr. Baba. We are glad that you made it. This is Joyce Muluimuropa, the chairperson of the panel. I'm going to introduce members of the panel that we are going to take through the process together. We are going to be together with you for a period of 30 minutes. So we would have to, in terms of interacting, try to actually shorten most of the questions so that you can reach as much areas as is possible. On our left there, that is Luzel Adams, that's Honorable Luzel Adams, and this is Honorable Ibrahim Suleiman, this is Honorable Anchen Dreyer, and this is Honorable Ibrahim Rasool. Welcome, feel free. I will quickly request you to just an introductory question. If you can take a period of maybe 3 minutes or less or plus, just to give us a bit of a background. We have actually gone through your CV. We have seen your qualifications, all of them lined up there. So we really know a little bit of a background, but that is documented. So we just have an interactive approach at the moment. If you can just give us a brief background of knowing you better before we really proceed. Over to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, the chairperson of the committee. First of all, let me express my appreciation for having been invited for this interview. I think in itself, the interview is an achievement, even if one doesn't get the position, it's an achievement.
What will police and town officers that never committed any crime? Secondly, I've never been involved in anything that could be conceived or construed as something that I can't hold any public office. I've never done anything of that nature. My strength lies in strategic management, lies in consultation before I make a decision. Lies in ensuring that whatever decision that I'm able to take, that decision takes on board various views, but without delaying it, because because sometimes consultation can become an impediment for your true vision, what you want to do. Strategic leadership, that's one of my strengths. I always think about the future, how to approach the future. Briefly, that is what I can be able to tell you about myself.
Thank you very much, Dr. Scott.
Yeah, thanks very much. Look, I'm trying to just ascertain whether your 5 years as accounting officer in the Northwest Legislature has given you sufficient of a management groundedness to now move to operating for the Public Service Commission. So I'm trying to find out what your kind of management experience is and your ability to direct public service as a whole in the country.
Thank you very much, and I must say that I think you won't pardon me to say that I know Mr. Yeah. Lasul, because he was a premier of this province at one stage. I must say that for the past 5 years, I've gained a lot of experience in the Northwest Provincial Legislature. That experience actually, I think, tallies correctly so with what are the dictates of Public Service Commission, that of impartiality and independence. And in my work, because we had about 33 members of the Northwest Provincial Legislature, being 33, but you have different political parties within them, then I had to be impartial in executing my duties to all of them and be independent. And hence, I'm so proud that at no stage did I, you know, at one stage blame to say that you tend to favor a political party and not do your job in terms of what is there in the conduct of the Northern Provincial Legislature. And I think that is one of the most important pillars of what I've gained, to be independent and impartial. I can give you examples of that, that you'll always find political parties clashing, that type of thing. The second time, you must be able to implement the decision of the legislature. And I've always done that, guided by the rules of the legislature, and most importantly, guided by the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Dr. Skok, you're applying for a position at the Public Service Commission. Please tell us, what is your understanding of the main functions of the Public Service Commission?
Public Service Commission, I think, exists by virtue of the dictates of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996, Section 196, and I think popularly we call them public service, falls within that broader institution for our country that we call them Chapter 9 institutions. And public service has various interrelated focus. One of them is to do what they call investigation. Investigation, if there are certain misconduct within the public service, particularly at national and provincial level, because currently the Public Service Commission doesn't include the local government, and I think that is something that is going to be done in the future. Investigation and ensure that there's corruption-free within the public service. The second point is that public service does what we call monetary and evaluation of government projects, of the conduct within public service. The other one, which is much more important, and I think there are debates in South Africa that maybe should be sort of part of the curriculum at school level, is that of professional ethical conduct by members of the public service. Public service also ensures that, because Public Service Commission is sort of a knowledge resource-based institution, is that it must be able to assist the executive of the Republic of South Africa, Parliament, committee, as a committee like yours, to offer technical support to it. There are various things that the public service also has to do to conduct the, what we call a citizen survey to check whether what is the level of satisfaction or dissatisfaction within the community about the level of public service. To promote also leadership and performance management within public service. Guide various ministries in terms of performance agreements with head of departments. And I think those are some of the most important silent aspects of the Public Service Commission. And lastly, Public Service Commission must ensure that there's a professional excellence in public administration within the Republic of South Africa.
Dr. Scott, you just mentioned now the functions of the Public Service Commission. But as you know, we've got now a new Ministry of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation and Administration in the presidency. You want to tell it back there on the in the presidency. Now, what would you say is the difference? What's the difference in the functions?
Yes, it's true. These are new developments within our country. I think they are less than 3 months old. And I think as they evolve through the passage of time, we'll be able to see what really will be the clear difference. What I can tell you now, as I'm sitting, is that I think the difference between that division of Mr. Manuel is to assess ministers. And I think Public Service Commission is there to assist within the public service, service delivery, and other related issues. And I think that is the distinction that I don't think that at any stage there will be some conflict in that respect, when at least you know, it becomes clearer what is the role of the minister of the new commission. I can tell you that also he was asked that question in the newspapers, and he said that he's not yet ready to answer that question because he wants to see what will be his functions.
Okay, Honorable Adams. Do you think the expectations of the Public Service Commission is reasonable given the independent expectations for the departments? Okay. Do you think it's reasonable given the independence of the Commission?
I think that the expectations of they are reasonable. They are fairly reasonable in a sense that I think it can be able to achieve, but one should be informed that also, while they are reasonable, there are certain constraints that would affect the Public Service Commission. One of the things, as I've already alluded to that fact, was the question of monitoring and evaluation. And when you monitor and evaluation, that means you have to have a particular expertise in that respect. And Public Service Commission is that it conducts what we call secondary research. That means it relies on an information that already exists from somewhere. Then sometimes we need to check that also information. And I think those are some of the constraints. Secondly is that if one look at the organizational structure for the public service, we'll have 14 commissioners, I think, four nationally and nine provinces. I can tell you my own experience, and I think can be confirmed by other people, is that in respect to interacting with legislatures, there are certain problems that still exist. And sometimes it's because of financial resources, because in provinces we have one commissioner, provincial commissioner of public service, and one regional director. And I think that put a terrible strain, because I don't think that those people are able to receive all what they are supposed to do. Resources, I think all, not necessarily Public Service Commission that lacks financial resources, but I think the entire departments in our country, given the expectations of the communities or South African citizens, is that they always will have a challenge in respect to resources.
Dr. Stolt, you talked about the challenges facing the Public Service Commission itself, but the Public Service Commission has to oversee the Public Service Administration. Can you tell us what challenges you think are the main challenges in the public service that the Public Service Commission will have to look at and will have to deal with?
One of the challenges is in respect to, just to mention a few, is labor relations. I think that is a serious challenge, because some of the departments, they tend to send quick complaints to National Public Service Commission before they exhaust all the internal process in respect to labor relations. But I think that is one of the challenges. The second challenge, I think, within the public service is that of departments requesting certain things to be done by the Public Service Commission, and I'm referring here like at one stage poverty alleviation program that was done by the Public Service Commission in respect to land affairs and public works. And I think there's much more request to the Public Service Commission by the departments, and I think that is a challenge within the Public Service Administration. Secondly, in terms of leadership also within public service, broadly, the Public Service Commission must be able to advise the executive in terms of performance agreements with various heads of department. And I think somehow we find that we have some difficulties in that respect. Difficulties because sometimes departments, they tend to take some time to agree to the performance, which requires by law that must be negotiated between the head of department and the minister. That means the executing authority and the head of the department, the accounting officer. And those are some of the challenges.
Yeah, Dr. Scott, do you think that the Public Service Commission has the instruments, like reports and recommendations, already to start addressing those challenges, but other serious ones like service delivery and so forth? Or do you think that those are the things that need to be invented in order to deal with these matters?
I think in certain respects some can be used, you know, for the future, but somehow we need some new mechanisms to be able to jack up the speed of ensuring that we address some of those challenges. For example, in respect to Labor Relations Act, I think we'll have to, you know, there are certain pieces of legislation that exist in South Africa. The only thing is to infuse them in various institutions for them to be able to do that. And I think somehow, public service, I must say that it has done quite a good job. For the first time when I was introduced to the concept of Public Service Commission, actually, it was when I was in Namibia. And I started to understand what is this really, Public Service Commission. I can tell you that when I was doing my doctorate, I came across, when I was, you know, doing some research, some of the countries where actually there was no Public Service Commission, and you realize that the level of corruption is high in those countries. If they had Public Service Commission, I think to an extent, it would have assisted, you know, to prevent those malpractices.
This commission brings out a new sum of force here. Can you mention a few parts, please, for this?
Yes. I know that there is an annual one, which, you know, each and every year, you know, they produce reports, you know, and they come, you know, it's a report that is orientated in respect to the theme of the period. The midterm review that they have produced for the Public Service Commission, that's what that comes to mind for me.
Another item?
Yeah, just what would you regard as your essential contribution if you were to become a commissioner for the Public Service Commission? What do you bring to it that is unique and different, that is required in the time of the kind of challenges that we are speaking about, particularly at the level of service delivery, etc.?
And this this comes out of my own, I think is aligned to the first question, it comes out of my own experience as the Secretary of the North West Provincial Legislature. One of the responsibilities of Public Service Commissioners is to interact with the Chair of Chairs of Parliament. The second interaction is at the level of the committee, the Executive Committee. And I think one would bring some understanding that, that one of the problems that we have in South Africa that to an extent tend to impede the level of service delivery is to provide some technical support to the committee. One of the biggest problems that we have in South Africa is budget analysis. You know, departments gives huge documents to various committees, and those documents will be, and we find that some of our own people, unfortunately, they're not so much skilled in terms of analyzing budgets. Secondly, is that one of the things that I can be able to bring after making proper research is that I think legislatures and parliament, what they need to do is to resource much more the committees by providing legal expertise, by providing budget analysis, by providing research, you understand. What I'm trying to say in short is that As committees actually, or parliament, we don't have to hire a lot of people that make tea and drivers and that type of thing, but we must be able to get much more of professional assistance to the committees. Because if you do that, oversight of the committees will be increased over various departments. And I think that would be what I would do in that respect.
But there are certain just rights and laws that govern the functioning of the commission. Can you mention a few about this?
Yes, as I've already indicated, that the Public Service Commission exists by the dictate of the Parliament. I think one of the prescripts is that I think it must be consultative, must be transparent in its work, must be accountable in its work.
I would like to know the laws govern the function, the name of the laws. Now, there are certain prescribed laws that see how they must operate.
The Public Service Commission. I think whatever that the Public Service Commission, whatever law that is there, I think is derived out of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. I think that is a fundamental guiding torch for the Public Service Commission to function. And whatever that comes, I think, is drawn from that. Anything that deviates from that, I think it would be wrong for public service to follow.
A previous question asked you about annual reports that come out by the Public Service Commission. Now, these reports address certain issues. They often sometimes make recommendations. Could you mention some of the issues that were addressed by these reports and maybe some of the recommendations that came out of these reports, the issues that they addressed?
I think one of them, I think they conducted a study. One of them, I think, they conducted a study, I think it was in Limpopo at one stage. And that study focused on the councillors that public servants that became councillors. Now there was that, you know, clash that you are a public servant but at the same time you are a councillor. How are you going to be able to perform a duty? You understand, because there are certain ambiguities in that respect. And I think that is one of them. As I have already indicated, I think also Public Service Commission conducted a study also in terms of poverty alleviation. I think then the first department and public works. And that also it was reflected. Those are some of the ones that I know. There's others also on corruption, actually, in respect to public service administration. I think there's a hotline, there's a national hotline. And also Public Service Commission also is chairing a national forum on anti-corruption within the public service administration.
A quick follow-up on that same issue. A couple of weeks ago, there was a very big story in one of the Sunday national papers on the front page exposing corrupt tendering processes in the civil service, in the public service. Are you aware of that? And could you maybe tell us whether you think that falls under the Public Service Commission or is it one of the issues that they will have to address?
I think they will have to address, it's a national matter, and it's a worrying matter. I think that deals with what we call a conflict of interest. I know for a fact if I become a member of the Public Service Commission, is that I'm not allowed actually to be engaging in tenders, that type of thing. And I think that is one of the most serious issues. And I've seen it, I must confess. And I know that one of the commissioners said, by that time, that I think that is her own opinion, to say that it would be better if we ban all tenders where members of head of departments or public servants are involved. It's a worrying issue, and I think Public Service Commission has a critical role to play in that respect. I think it's a question of debate. It's a question of debate because if I become a commissioner, one will have to sit like this and see what would be the most ideal and possible mechanism to resolve that type of thing. But I can tell you that South Africa today is confronted by the issue of conflict of interest, and it requires some relook.
So, one of the members, do you still have some questions? Dr. Stark,
over the years, the Public Service Commission made recommendations in various reports. Can you think of at least one recommendation that was implemented?
The one that I think public service dealt with was the question of how do you deal with the question of local government not being part and parcel of public service in the whole Republic of South Africa. And hence currently there are moves or intentions actually to ensure that local government sphere of government becomes part and parcel of public service in the whole country.
Yes, honourable members, and Dr. Stark will acknowledge the end of our time for the interview. Would like to appreciate the time spent with us, the responses to our questions. We thank you very much. I believe now we have reached time where if you have anything that you really want to ask the panel at the same time, you are free to do so.
But to be honest, I don't have any questions because usually people, when they go to interviews, they'll ask about their salaries. But myself, because I know that anything about the public service is gazetted, then I don't have any question. I'll not just to greet you by hand, then after that I can be able to leave. But thank you very much. Thank you.
No, there's others to ask when we're going to get the results. thank you very much.
Members? Sorry, members, can you just close the score sheets?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bring some extra round for check.
No, I think it's
would you like some more sheets?
I think I will. You can find some.
This is awesome.
I'm saying about, you know, some peace.
I'm glad I don't know. I'm not part of this film or anything like that. This is stupid.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you asked him.
No, Chair, I haven't, but I will get a copy of his ID.
Okay.
I'll call him after the interviews and just add it to the records.
Okay.
Honourable members, this is Mayor Jane Matsumela.
Ma'am, welcome. We appreciate what you made for the interview. We've been going through a background. We actually have that knowledge, but now we want to interact and we need to sort of finalize or draw an understanding in order for us to make a conclusion. And we are going to take about 30 minutes to interact with you, and we would really, because that when you respond to questions, you actually leave a bit of time for us to ask other areas, because there are various areas, so we don't take too long. We just say, just give us an answer that you can give us a reception, so that we can cover all areas that we need to do. Okay, feel free to, if you don't hear the question, to ask for clarity. We are going to start now. We want to really know about your background. Give us a brief background about yourself while you're related to this class.
Yeah, good morning, everybody, and thank you, Chairperson. I really appreciate it. The opportunity to be interviewed. I'm trying to be brief, but I normally go on and on and on. My name is Jane Matsumela, and after completing my BCom degree from the University of the North, I started working at then University of Bophuthatswana as a school administrative officer, and I was studying part-time. And I moved on to become the internal auditor of the university, continued to study until I obtained my master's degree, and then I started teaching at the university. It was now the Northwest University when I started teaching there. And I went on to become the Dean of the Faculty of Commerce and Administration at that university. In the meantime, because of my involvement in the community, in other matters concerning staff in the at the university, I then became one of the first democratically elected councillors, ward councillors, and I went on to become the deputy mayor of Mafikeng. It was Mafikeng City Council then, and went on to become the executive mayor of the Mafikeng local municipality. After which I came to Parliament and became a member of Parliament and a member of the portfolio committees of education and public service and administration. And then finally then became the, for the last 6 months of my stay here, I became the chairperson of the portfolio committee on public service and administration. And briefly, I must say my experience as the executive mayor, from being the deputy mayor, was that of having to especially when I became the executive mayor, of having to integrate the then local council with the rest of the peri-urban area around Mafikeng, because now it became a municipality. That was a very challenging period, and you know, integration is not easy. It has to do with transformation. That's when the Systems Act was introduced. That's when the Structures Act was introduced, and I had to lead that process, and I believe I led it well. Even at the university, at the time when I became the dean of the faculty, it was immediately after the new democratic government was in place. So we had to transform the university, not only in terms of conditions of employment, the culture, but also the curricula, to ensure that the students that we produced there at that time would be relevant and understand the vision, goals, and objectives of the new government. And my internal auditing experience was, I started as an internal auditor. I ended up heading the department with the aim was to review the internal control systems and to report to management, make recommendations about how we could improve the systems within the university. And of course, as chairperson of the portfolio committee, I was exposed to the Public Service Commission, for which I have applied now, and I had to deal with CETA, to Palama was reporting to me, even the Department of Public Service and Administration, which gave me an insight of what was happening in this supporting organizations, supporting governments. Briefly, that's how I'm going to do it.
Remember, what I didn't do, I didn't introduce the panel that is with me here that will be taking place with the Honorable Osong, Honorable Freya, Honorable Suleiman, and Honorable Adams. So they will be asking questions interchangeably. Over to Honorable Russell.
Thank you very much. So, Matsumela, how involved were you in all these transformation processes? Was your involvement at the leadership level, or did you get your hands into management as well? Because I think that this is about your ability to understand management processes, as well as whether you think all of that will give you now the insight in order to direct, through the Public Service Commission, the further transformation of the public service as a whole.
Thank you very much, Honorable Rasul. My involvement in as executive mayor and deputy mayor really gave me not only experience as a visionary leader, but also as an executive mayor. That's when we're moving from mayorship being a ceremonial position, but it being now an executive position, which means I had to also deal with management issues. And also as the dean of the faculty, despite giving that direction, I also had to manage the faculty to ensure that we have got the relevant human resources available, that the systems are in place that will enable us to carry out our duties well. And of course, management is more about managing people, ensuring that the people that you lead understand where you are going, and you lead them in such a way that they are willing to follow you. So that's.
And the oversight to give guidance to the Public Service Commission?
Yes, firstly, I can say that the type of experience experience that I got as an auditor of the university really gave me an opportunity to be able to look into the systems and evaluate and monitor what was happening, and then be able to report, and to report in such a way that the reports enable management to take decisive and relevant decisions to solve the problems within the organization. And I believe that, together with the work that I was doing as a member of parliament and also as the chairperson of the portfolio committee, enabled me to lead and to manage properly, put into practice the basic management principles that I was teaching at the university, to put them into practice.
You're applying for the position of commissioner in the Public Service Commission. So can you tell us what's your understanding of the function? What's the work or the important responsibilities, the function of the Public Service Commission?
Thank you, thanks, Drea. The main functions of the Public Service Commission are to promote the values and basic principles as outlined in Section 195 of the Constitution, and also to do generally monitoring, evaluation as an oversight work over the public service in general, to also investigate and monitor the organization, the administration, as well as the personnel practices within the public service. Also to propose measures that will ensure that the public service is running efficiently, is performing efficiently and effectively. Also to give directions regarding the personnel practices relating to the promotions, to the recruitment, to the transfers, to the dismissals, and in doing so, making sure that these comply with the values and basic principles of public administration as outlined in Section 195. And I think the most important guiding principles is that the Public Service Commission has got to be objective and has got to be impartial in doing its job. It should not find itself mingling with policy making, but just to evaluate and monitor that policy is being adhered to. Those basic principles are being adhered to. And sometimes, either out of its own accord or upon receipt of a complaint, they can investigate the application of the public administration procedures, the personnel procedures, and report to the relevant executive authority or legislature. Can also advise the national and provincial governments regarding matters relating to personnel practices, on recruitment, on promotions, on transfers, and also on dismissals, and any issues on the careers of employees within the public service. And also, most importantly, the Public Service Commission should report on its activities and the performance of its functions, and report on whatever directions that they have given, whatever findings that they have given, whatever advices that they have given, and ensure that these also give a report that the extent to which these comply with the basic values and principles of public administration.
Just to follow up, given your experience as a chairperson of the Portfolio Committee in Public Service and Administration, what do you think needs to be transformed in the Public Service Administration of the Public Service Commission?
What needs to be transformed?
Yes.
I think, firstly, if you look at the work that has been done by the Public Service Commission, the Public Service Commission has published very good reports where they have done monitoring, where they have done evaluation, and they have given very good recommendations which, if they were to be followed, they could really make a difference in the way the public service is run. But I think now the Public Service Commission has got to move more towards inspections more than reports, because the reports are there, information is there, but there seems to be gaps on the ground. The implementation of these recommendations seems to be a problem, because I think if these were to be followed up, then we could see a different public service. And Anna, if you want me to go on.
Thank you, Ma'am Matsumela. In the previous question, you mentioned the functions and the mandates of the commission. But now, as you know, we've got now a new ministry in the presidency, the Ministry for Performance Monitoring and Evaluation and Administration. Headed by the Honorable Thurl Mandia. In the previous term, it wasn't there, about 2-3 months old. So what can you see? Regarding this mandate now, what is the difference between the commission on the one hand, side and the minister on the other? And I would like to follow up with the answer to ask.
Thank you very much, Honorable Solomon. My understanding is that the ministry, the performance evaluation, I'm not sure exactly about the name, but that ministry which is led by Honorable Chabang. And it's going to concern itself mainly with the performance of the executive arm of government. It is going to look into as to whether the ministers are performing according to their mandates. And it's going to report to cabinet about the performance of the ministers. And also, like the PSC does with the public service, it will also recommend, or rather give directives as to how the ministers can improve their work. So I suppose the ministry will be looking at service delivery in general, in as far as the executive is concerned. On the other hand, the Public Service Commission looks at the performance of the heads of departments, or rather the senior management, as well as the public service. And it reports its findings. It also investigates corruption, misconduct, whatever that might not be going right in the public service.
So that was then. Maybe it's something. That's something.
It goes like that when you give correct answers.
So don't
panic.
The commission, on the other hand, looks at the performance of senior ministers and public servants, and then it also reports to the parliament through the Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Administration, and also then, of course, makes recommendations on how to improve the work of the public service. So I can say that, in general, the ministry is looking at service delivery in general. If you say you are going to build a road here, has the road been built? The Public Service Commission on the other side will say, yes, you are performing. Are you adhering to the values and principles? Are you adhering to legislation in serving from general resources?
I think my follow-up question is about the answer already. I would just like to formulate any like. How do you think the commission should complement the function of the National Planning Commission in the first place? How can they complement it?
Okay, now we are referring to the Planning Commission, no longer the performance.
Yeah.
The Ministry of Performance. And if we look at the National. First, look at the work of the National Planning Commission, the one that is led by Honorable Mwanya. It's addressing the question, what has got to be done? It will come up with strategies on how departments should perform in order to deliver services. Whereas the Public Service Commission, on the other hand, is looking at the how service delivery is made. Is there compliance? adherence to all those basic principles, the academic principles, the legislation. So how the commission can then complement is that the commission, the Public Service Commission, should understand exactly what are the plans, what are the strategies that have been put in place by this commission in the ministry, and to make sure that as they do their evaluation and monitoring and investigations, they take into consideration those strategies. If there are any gaps, then they will be able to make recommendations or make any suggestions on how the strategies can be fulfilled and achieve the goals and objectives.
What do you think are going to be the most important challenges that the Public Service Commission would have to deal with, and what do you think your contribution could be to such a Public Service Commission? And then lastly, you spoke about the Public Service Commission being impartial and objective. Having been a leading cadre of the ANC, would you be able to transform yourself into an objective and impartial person in the guise of a commissioner?
Thank you very much, the challenges that I think are facing the Public Service Commission now. Firstly, it's the, I don't have to say poor service delivery, but it's the level of service delivery. If one were to look around at the recent strikes, people demanding service delivery, and I think the role that the Public Service Commission can do there is to ensure that through the departments, through the reports that it submits to the
just try another one.
I indicated earlier on, I think the Public Service Commission could do more inspections to address this issue of poor service delivery. And in my view, I don't think the people are up in arms because there is no service delivery whatsoever. But I think the gap here is with effective communication. Our public servants have got to be taught to communicate much more effectively with the people. The people know where we come from, the majority of them. And I think they are sympathetic to the government of the day, looking at how they voted in the polls. But what is lacking is for public servants to have this contact with the people, to say, with the resources that we have, this is what we have achieved, this is where we are going, this is where we are looking. I mean, if I were to make an example, if I in a queue in a hospital waiting for the doctor and the doctor is delayed, if somebody comes to say to us, the doctor will be delayed, he'll be here in 2 hours late or whatever, people will tend to understand. Otherwise, if you are just late there, you become disgruntled and you go out there, you tell people the way there is no service delivery in that hospital. Whereas if it was communicated effectively, would help the patients to wait, realizing that the servants are also taking into consideration. The other challenge is that of the performance agreements not being signed on time by senior managers. This is something that I encountered a lot when I was sitting in this committee. And to me, Chairperson, that is just not acceptable. Because these are the people who are supposed to drive service delivery in the public sector. But if the drivers do not commit themselves that this is what they are going to do, then if the driver doesn't know where he's taking us, how will we get there? So that, to me, is a challenge, and I'm sure this commission, together with this committee, will have to do their part to make sure that that is the impact. Another problem is the issue of, corruption, fraud, misconduct by public servants. The Commission has got to, together with the portfolio committee and Parliament in general, make sure that there is that culture, that work ethic is revived in the public service. And adherence to the Batubili principles, it also relates to the example that I have just made. The public service have got to understand that it's people first and not them first. And also, the issue of absenteeism, well, I can relate that to also misconduct. There is just this laxity that is there in the public service, because I think in the past, even now, the civil servants don't see the commission or whoever is responsible taking steps of dismissal, for instance, for people who are not doing what they're supposed to do. I think the public service commission has got a role to play. And also the issue of vacancies, the rate of vacancies in the public service. And I think they take too long before they are filled. And some of them are still strategic positions that cause some of the lapses in service.
And your own objectivity and impartiality.
Okay. As a commissioner, I would be guided by the constitution of the country and not the constitution of my political party. And making sure that whatever findings that I make are not in any way biased as to who has done what, or not to be subjective, but objective, looking at what is it that we want to achieve as a government, as a public service, and make a meaningful contribution to that, and not look at who is involved. So it is important that the commission should really do its work impartially and without politics. And I have done that. I mean, I was the executive mayor of Mafikeng local municipality, serving everybody in the community. And my objective was that to make sure that everybody gets the services that they deserve.
The commission, as you know, brings out many reports every year on various issues. Can you just mention one or two or three of these reports that they bring out annually? And then from these reports, what are some of the main recommendations that they make in their reports?
Okay. The most important report, in my view, is that of the state of the public service. Because to me, it embodies the evaluation and monitoring oversight work that is being done by the Public Service Commission. And if you look at that report, it actually shows us every year as to where we come from, where we are as a Public Service Commission, as a public service, and where the public service is going. And this document is actually an authority of public administration by both academics. Even the president who does his State of the Nation address, he relies on the state of the public service. Another one is the adherence to the Batubili principles. Like I said, that this is the core of service delivery. It's people first and not the civil services. And some of the recommendations that are made there by the Public Service Commission is that people should be transparent in the way that they do their work. Again, the issue of impartiality, they recommend that. And of course that, you know, people should be given first reports. And another important report is the one on the citizen satisfaction. I think if those kind of reports were cascaded to every person that is going to use that information, I don't think we would be having these kind of strikes. Because that kind of report shows as to how, to what extent are the citizens satisfied about the quality of the services that they're giving and the services that they're giving. And also the report on this very audit of the rate of the
street positions are vacant, which positions still needs to be filled urgently, and which ones are redundant. I think we're also sitting with a lot of posts that we think need to be filled, which are redundant. So if this is possible to be utilized, we will get rid of that problem.
You stated earlier that if appointed, number one, you will be governed by the Constitution of South Africa, not rather by the Constitution of the political party. You also stated that the current protests are a result of no effective communication, and lastly, that the Public Service Commission should focus more on inspections, not on reports. My question to you is then, do you intend to be the effective communicator between the public and the government departments if appointed to the Public Service Commission?
The effective communicator between the departments and the commission. Yeah, I think that would be within my mandate if I were to become the commission. To communicate our findings.
I actually mean
the effective communicator between the public and the government departments.
As a commissioner, I would do my part in improving effective communication within the departments. It is the duty of the departments because they are the ones who need to deliver the services. But they will receive my input after the findings, after evaluating and monitoring. I will give them the information to communicate effectively with their communities.
Last question from my side. What are the most important laws underpinning the function of the public service?
The laws. The first and most important is the Constitution, especially Section 196, Section 4 of the Constitution, and the Public Service Act, as well as the Public Service Commission Act number 46 of 1997. And I think it's important also for commissioners to be very well versed in the Employment Equity Act, the Labor Relations Act, and also the new the guidelines regarding the new procedures of grievances for the employees. And of course, because the nature of complaints mainly are about grievances of employees and officials, and it's also important to understand the rules that are dealing with the grievances of both officials and employees within the public service.
And that could be the last question.
Yeah, I think I want to do the last. If you've been appointed to the chair, what contribution can you bring to the school, to the public service commission? Your strengths, leadership, maybe for what? Maybe what's more, let's what, 4, 5, 6 abilities you've got, which we know, which is going to be.
Thanks, Chairperson, for that question. Firstly, I believe that my academic qualifications will enable me to not only read the reports that the Public Service Commission has published in the past, but to be able to analyze and interpret the nature of challenges and problems that are facing our current public service. Secondly, the managerial positions that I have held have given me experience in building transformation management and change management. Like I said, when I was the executive there, that was during the time of change, change of systems, change the outlook in the local government at that time, and also in the academic education change. So change management, and I think I'm very comfortable with that, and actually learned that there is no stability these days. Stability is being able to adapt to change. And again, my experience as a chief person, although it was in short-lived, it was only about 6 months, but it gave me great insight into what are the problem areas in our public service. And I have sat on the other side and gave advice to the public service commission. Now this will give me an opportunity to take my own. And again, like I said, I would use my influence to really influence the Public Service Commission
from the following reports. Those are, that is the right constitution, but to also put a lot of emphasis on the constitutions. Make sure that the policies that are going to be there, the legislation that is there, it is being implemented and enables us to achieve our common objectives. And of course, finally, Chairperson, personally, I have a great passion for public service. I'm somebody who wants to serve people. That's why my involvement from the outset in the staff association of the university, in the project in the community, the intention has been to improve the lives of the people. And I think that this will be another opportunity that I will be given to continue to serve my people. I was involved in the struggle, and we have got what we wanted, and it is only through service that we'll be able to show the world exactly what we meant when we said we were not satisfied with that duty. We wanted this kind of justice. Thank you. Thank you very much for offering us to interact with you in this interview. We have now reached the end of our time and of our interview. This is an opportunity for you if you have a question that you would like to find out from the panel before we can join us.
Yeah, just one question, Chairperson. Going back to this new ministry in the interest of that is also concerned about the evaluation and monitor of services. I just want to know, what is the relationship currently between that ministry, the special relationship between that ministry and the portfolio community on the services?
We attempted to leave it for you to continue to analyze it the very same way, and don't really dwell much, but there is quite a lot of interaction, and we wouldn't really like to start giving it a name at this point in time, but definitely there will be that relationship. There should be, yeah, that's why we keep putting those new ministries in order to complement one another and ensure that the attention is much better. So thank you very much.
Okay. You know how government reports back, and so we won't ask when they will I know. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
have not really changed my life to create for
it. It's even top of it. You know, it's so cool. You have the best understanding of the
Everyone's.
You see what I mean when I speak of the sliding benchmark?
Yes, that looks like new to me.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, so the word here.
Yeah, there's a lady did
okay. Momo Sisto. Today. Leka. Hetsi.
Yes.
Shapsa. Leka. T. Again. 10:45. Or less. Sipan lunch. Okay, now that's
just
cool. That's cool.
Thank you.
and if you feel about how this guy comes, and you're talking with this guy, and the closing of this guy, they call each other. And you got to use it. So they call each other, you take out. No, I doesn't just chatter things. We were striking. When the closing was distracting, they were marching on the ring. And he came with his BMW, opened the window, took out the hat, handful of 100 dragons, as two guys had said, were female family. And he used this all along the march. He said, no, you didn't know why, because he's an exit. Nothing to do. They probably thought he was a black man, that he was a resistant.
Who's that? He's in the closet. I once saw him presenting it to our unit. He had the MDGs. Yeah. I know that boy. He's a policy analyst in the president.
Thank you. very dramatic. Which I still thought was unfair, but that's what it is.
I was
Anshul, I thought I would steal your question about objectivity and
about
shadow.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you wouldn't be able to call a spade a spade. So I think as a, having been a leading fader of the ANC.
I'm
very
polite about it. Honorable Suleiman,
yes.
You've got to, for this candidate, he is from that new entity in the presidency. So you've got to be sharp with your question.
But also the members will be interacting with the professionals as well on a regular basis. He holds a PhD. In economics, from which university?
That's a
good
point. I like
more this kind of job. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're
speaking about
your daughter.
My daughter.
I'm asking you a conflict of interest in your career now. Where do all the ladies originally come from?
Ready?
And the case lecture and the very important breakthrough lesson that he spoke about poverty was that he took you out of human level, which was all growth and no distribution, and that's why it imploded. The Zimbabwean model was all distribution and no growth, and that's why it imploded. And it's out of that where he spoke about shared growth. Of every growth that we share. And that was a really important breakthrough concept. No. I think it's from macroeconomic perspective. But not from that. So it was a very good book.
Honourable members, this is
Lucy Tumede.
Not
Dr. Lucy Tumede. We'll first look at the certificates.
Largely coordination and facilitation, but also advisory services to political principals in the presidency. Before that, I was a department of trade industry. I worked with both Deputy Minister Lindo Hendricks. I was her advisor when I joined, and later worked in the Chief Economist Office at the DTI, and then working at that point in time more closely with Minister Alec Dewey. Before coming to the presidency. And amongst the things, perhaps the highlight of my career around this year, so some sort of breakthrough, is that I became
Thanks very much, Dr. Gumede. I want to, of your 34 years, 10 have been working. Within those 10, have there been enough exposure to management that would be able to equip you to do the work that the Public Service Commission requires in order to guide the ongoing evolution of the public service in South Africa? And secondly, why would you want to make a switch from the cutting edge of policy making and implementation where you are now to something more oversight in the Public Service Commission?
Let me start with the last question. Thanks for that. I have been thinking since mid-2007, in particular, that it might be a good idea to try a different work environment, still within the public sector, even if perhaps not in the mainstream of the public sector. And largely because I got a sense that, you know, sometimes it's useful to step out a bit, especially in the early years of your career, and reflect as well on, you know, how things have been done, and how better they could be done. And that's why actually around those, that period from late 2007, I started getting involved with lecturing, in a sense, as part of that process. But increasingly, I feel, you know, sometimes it could easily end up being complacent, you know, being in the same environment for too long. But also, I think it's just perhaps philosophical that you do need to open space at some point, not just for your own profession, where you, of course you do need to reflect, but also for new thinking, for some fresh perspectives on some of the issues. But you've been lasting in terms quite clear that there are a number of things that we could have done better on. And, you know, you could continue thinking for a long time.
And the management exposure?
Well, the management exposure, I've been in a managerial position since 2001. And then I've managed large teams of people. I've managed very big projects. Some projects that I've started myself. So I might have had a bottle program to support cooperative development. Some of the projects that I started from scratch, conceptualized, and created capacity for those projects, hired people, and got people to implement this project. The National Income Dynamics, that is one of those. I can explain the details, but I'm just illustrating that I can contact
the company. And they taught you enough, lessons about the public service to be able to play a guiding role.
I believe so, but also because if you're in the police coordination in the presidency, you work with government departments, so you learn quite a lot. Those you interact with the DGs, you interact, you see the cabinet committees, you see the external cabinet committees, but also you have to engage the DGs on a number of issues, like both in terms of reporting back from cabinet issues, but also you know, discussing with them strategic issues that require attention. So I think given that I've been to the economic sector and then also in the social sector, I mean, these two sectors combined are more than half of our government as well.
Thank you, Ambroche. Dr. Gumede, your partner for this presentation, can you tell us briefly, please, what do you understand to be the function